we mix conscious energy with electromagnetic field generation, and we're able to convince any living organism, we'll convince bugs that it's better to live in the pasture next door than in this pasture. We're in San Antonio, Texas, and we move crickets out of a commercial establishment, and we convince the crickets that there's more hospitable environment across the road than what they're being subjected to, and they literally moved across the street.
I really had an epiphany that the pharmaceuticals are mostly evil. You know, they take care of the one problem that someone is taking that pharmaceutical for, but it can create 50 other ones that they never tell you about.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today I have a treat. We have Phil and Max back, our scientists who are, they've actually been invited to be with society, the most likely 100 scientists in the world to change the world. And they are recognized as that. Very exciting for them and for us to have them coming back on a regular basis. But they're going to talk about the study of consciousness. They get into all sorts of interesting things with that. They get into C60. Also, we have Dr. Loretta Ivory and Dr. Joe Newsma joining them. And they're going to talk about toxicology and also the fantastic results of Dr. Loretta's eyes and the blindness and the reversal that they're seeing with C60, actual demonstrative results, pictures, and facts that they're seeing. And then for our patrons, we get into the research now that's being done on aging, and specifically when it comes to looking younger and what they're finding. So that'll be a patron only. And I just want to tell my patrons, thank you so much for supporting the program. I really appreciate it. And for those who have been donating directly, thank you so much as well. You can also donate using cryptocurrencies. I have the links on my website at sarahwestell.com. Thank you so much. Let's get into that interview now with Phil and Max and our two doctors.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi. Thanks
morning.
To be here.
We have Phil and Max, who are our regulars now. And then we got Dr. Loretta Ivory, and we have Dr. Joe Newsma.
Hi, I'm Joe.
I didn't chop those names too much, did I? I think I did okay. Well, and you, the doctors, we're so blessed to have them. They have a lot of information they're going to share with us today. We're going to start with Phil and Max, and then as we get into the topics they want to discuss, we'll bring them in. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay, so let's talk about consciousness, because you have been working a lot on what the meaning of consciousness is, because it's such a hard concept. I mean, what is consciousness? So first of all, can you explain what it is and what people are starting to realize what it is.
It starts off with understanding of reality in some way we're interpreting it. And we're recognizing the way we think and observe and sort of kind of learn the cognizance of what we've seen and interpret it. Now, we as humans have this higher consciousness because we can relate to what we can think and talk about versus what animals and how we interact with animals or how animals interact with each other. So consciousness is kind of interpreted by each of us differently. That's the way I understand it.
Now let me put mine in there. let's imagine consciousness as if you put your head under the water of the ocean. And when I say that is a fish that's out of water doesn't realize that when he's back in water, because that's the world he lives in. So consciousness is everything about us, inert as well as living organisms. And it's an unseen vibrational energy. And with that being said, it's always uploading. It's always collecting data. There was research done at NASA where they were using satellites to record every bit of sound around the planet Earth. And they started picking up certain bits of sound, and because sound never dissipates, it only creates half-life. And as they were picking up these bits of sound, they in a certain bandwidth, they started putting it together, and they've reconstituted speeches of ex-presidents from hundreds of years, 100 years ago.
Yeah, the Lincoln's Gettysburg Address.
Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. This is not just public knowledge. So that information is floating free. So your information that we're discussing here today is forever going to be in space.
It's and recoverable.
And recoverable. So even your conscious, you know, we map brain activity based on wavelengths. And those wavelengths are creating unaudible sound. In other words, it's frequency in the air. Well, that frequency is feeding consciousness.
Well, how did they isolate Lincoln's speech? You know what I mean? How did they get the whole thing?
They started picking up bits and pieces from these satellites that are circling the planet, covering the entire planet, and they were looking at different bandwidths, different tones. I'm trying to make it where most people can understand it. They were looking at certain tones, let's say, and taking all the tone, all the bits that were that tone and putting them in together, and they started realizing that they were accumulating speeches, sounds, discussions from years past. And they started isolating them.
I mean, can we get to the point where we don't need the NSA data? We have everything already.
Well, they have everything already.
But you know what I mean? It's a big database, but we don't really know how to isolate stuff to that degree. All past stuff. That's crazy. Now, do we have anything in the future? Or don't we know? Because we don't even know what we're looking at.
I don't know that we know what we're looking at. You know, there's nothing. We use consciousness to, you know, Dr. Loretta that'll be coming on is a trained remote viewer. Hey, you need to calm down over there. she's a trained remote viewer. So when you remote view, you are looking into the plane of consciousness at a given spot, whether it's past, present, or future. So consciousness doesn't realize past, present, or future. Right. You presented a question, and the answer is the answer if you know how to get the answer out of it. And that's what we're working with. Adam Curry, that worked at Peer Institute at 17 or whatever, and works with us and has gone on videos talking about the C60 and how it affects consciousness and amplifies consciousness. He himself, he's coming to my lab along with Jeremy that we've got that worked with Emoto. And you'll be doing a show with us.
Yeah, that'll be really a good show based on the water and how water affects. Now, how does C60 elevate consciousness?
Well, for one, I can say personally, it's increased my psychic abilities. I am more sensitive. I am more telepathic. There's a whole lot of opening up of the pineal gland. And I'm responsive to it. I'm noticing it more than I've ever noticed before. So I know that's one of the factors. In fact, that's even reported in some of the research.
And let's take this out of the medical realm, and let's just say when I ask you to tell me what was your favorite age between one, you know, 5 and 7. And you or favorite day, your best friend, and you start thinking, you're communicating with consciousness because your data bank, the information that you have in storage for mass memories is in the cloud. It's not on your brain. And so you're communicating with the information just like getting on your phone and looking at the internet. You're communicating with the cloud, receiving information.
Universal consciousness.
So if you take the C60 and it increases the amplitude or the antenna capability or communication, let's say it increases your data speed transfer of like a phone, instead of being 3G, it's 4G or 5G. What if this, because of its conductive ability, allows you to increase your communication between you and the source, whatever that source is?
And you guys are trying to measure it, right? You're trying to take something that's more of an esoteric idea and put science behind it and structure behind it. Can you explain that?
Right now, when Jeremy shows up, we've been doing it at the Semantics Lab in California. When Jeremy shows up, we have actual data of water. And when you think certain thoughts, you know, the movie Men Stare at Goats, which is about remote viewing and what's his name? What's the your
Clooney?
Your Danes. Major Ed Danes.
Danes, yep.
Was a consultant on, all right. So we call it Men Who Stare at Water. So we I know it's crazy. But we actually are recording data without outside interference. We have Faraday cage that blocks any electromagnetic fields. And you actually think certain thoughts, either read a card or we talk about it. And we're recording the data. You can physically see it print out on the computer as the water starts changing based on our thought patterns.
Just a quick break in the interview to remind you that starting on March 20th, there's a 72-hour viewing window to watch the documentary video series on how to grow 50% of your food in less than 1 hour per day. You will have way more nutritious food. Food coming out of the supermarket, traveling 1,500 miles and then to your table, wasn't ripe when it was picked. It can have upwards of 70% less nutrition than the food, the vegetables that you're picking out of your own backyard. Big difference from the nutritional value of your supermarket from your backyard. You will be so much healthier. Your family will be sick less often. So 72 hours free viewing starting March 20th. And the link is here below and in the video description. So let's get back into the interview now.
Yeah. Emoto had done this with symbols on water bottles and glass jars and such. And so this is just spinoff of that knowledge and using consciousness to influence and even record that information.
And do you think consciousness, if we start to understand how to control consciousness and direct it, we can heal? We can, I mean, there's infinite possibilities, right?
There are healers who lay on hands and focus and go into altered states for expressing that level of consciousness and making changes. So, yeah, we're trying to identify those parameters and capture them and record the information and maybe even improve instrumentation to record that.
Well, because you have to be able to prove that it's a science and it happens, and you can what can I say? You know it's going to work right, versus right. It being kind of nobody trusts it and it just seems silliness, right? You're putting numbers behind it and concrete information behind it, and how does it really work?
Well, there's. instrumentation again is what we're looking for, and we need objective feedback. And then that's one of the things that we relate to. It's the 3D world we live in, and that objective feedback gives us that information, and we interpret it.
And now, is anybody else in the world doing this that you know of?
I don't think so.
Not like you, right?
Not about it out loud. Well, you know, we took this technology that we've starting to really understand and master and mix it with electromagnetic field control. And that's how we created Wimekla Tech. I don't know if you ever went to Wimekla Ag and looked at our videos.
No, I remember we talked about it a little bit. Can you tell listeners what that is?
Well, it's alchemy spelt backwards. And so, because everybody, I got 100 emails. What are you saying? It sounds like I'm going blah, blah, blah. So it's alchemy spelt backwards with ag on it. So it's Wimekla Ag. And what we do is we mix conscious energy with electromagnetic field generation, and we're able to convince bugs, any living organism, to maneuver based on
conscious changes.
Conscious changes in its immediate environment. We'll convince bugs that it's better to live in the pasture next door than in this pasture.
So the pasture next door, if it's another farmer, they can have farmer wars between the bugs.
Okay, they just keep sending them down the road until it reaches a non-habited environment. I mean, we're in San Antonio, Texas, and we move crickets out of a commercial establishment. They have mass crickets forming for breeding season. And this commercial group reached out to us. We said, yeah, we can come. So we went down there and set up our boxes, no sound, no anything. And we convinced the crickets that there's more hospitable environment across the road than what they're being subjected to. And they literally moved across the street.
That is so amazing. And it works every time.
Yeah. We're getting paid to do it.
That's amazing. Now, how do you... how do you do it? I mean, how do you send a cricket a message that this is a terrible environment to live and you need to go next door?
This is part of the conscious research that we've worked in. I mean, let's just use you example. Let's say you have middle-class suburbia home, and I come into your home and you pay your taxes and your house payment and it's full. And I come in and say, you got to go. You need to leave. Because you're non-conducive to the environment. And you'll go, no, I'm comfortable here. You know, this is what. And then I get, I say, okay, look across the street or look down the road. There's an 8-bedroom swimming pool house, and we'll give that to you for free if you'll take everything you got and go the other direction. So not only do we push the crickets by creating – giving them an uncomfortable feeling, not harming them, giving them an uncomfortable feeling where they're at. But we also pull them by insinuating that the environment where they're going is more conducive for their action.
So frequencies and vibration come into play. So what we identify is a frequency that they're operating on, and either influence that frequency, change it, or make it objectionable to have where they are so they don't feel comfortable and they move on. And then you can direct that moving on. Again, frequency and vibrational energy is where we're working with.
And now, it's conscious.
Now, is it your thought? Do they understand your thoughts in the way that we think? It's just like if I think this is terrible, would they understand that thought? And could you take my frequency of that and map it to their frequency?
Well, consciousness is I wouldn't say international interpreter. I would say it's space interpreter. You know, a ghost that's or whatever you would call an entity in another dimension that speaks Russian. It's irrelevant because when you think a thought, you don't think it in Russian. You don't think it in anything. You just think the thought. Does that make sense? You know, whether you love something, whether you desire a hamburger, it doesn't matter. You're not putting a religious connotation. You're not putting a English, Spanish. You're thinking of the thought. It's irrelevant.
That's not a language. It's universal.
It's universal. That feeling, that emotion is universal. And when you convert it to something, whether it's virus all the way up to bug or even farm animals, We're able to move cattle from lots to lots. We're able to move goats. It's really birds. They're all smiling.
Do you see humans being manipulated in that way?
They can.
Yes.
They can.
Do you see it happening? And now that you know that you can do it, see it kind of happening, going, wait a minute, something is doing this to us?
It seems that the government finds ways of weaponizing any technology, but we don't go there. One of the examples I wanted to mention was our interaction with our pets. When we use certain words, they become familiar, but it's the attitude, it is the consciousness that we're conveying to the animals, and they pick that up. That is some communication, and that's generally what we're dealing with in this whole, and now we just expand it and sort of amplify it into other areas using that same conscious behavior.
Have you ever done any research on Dr. Valerie Hunt? She was at UCLA. She's passed away, but they physically recorded vibrational energy and also the light spectrum, the energy field. You know, you could put an esoteric label of aura or whatever the case may be on it, but the actual electromagnetic field around living organisms and how they amplify, not 1 + 1 = 2, but exponential, just quantum, just because hugging each other, you in close proximity to somebody you really care about, or a dog. And Dr. Valerie Hunt worked for UCLA for 18 years researching this and proved it beyond the shadow of a doubt, but they literally just let the information sit stagnant without taking it public.
Well, I know that the Eastern medicine, there's tools now that some of the master healers are using to be able to measure the energy going through your body and the increasing of it or decreasing it, and actually using it as a healing tool.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. Oh yes. Dr. Loretta's into that. That's her realm. We don't look at anything in a religious or non-religious or medical or non-medical attitude. We look at it as research. We take everything on a, we don't care if it's John of God or Lassie. What do those two things have in common, and how do they communicate, or how do they do what they do without verbiage or command?
But what you do, which is why I like talking to you, you're not just scientists that have a cold heart. You're very loving, and everything you want to do is for the goodness of humanity. And that I know, because I've heard that so many times and when we talk about that. So even though you don't look at it from a paradigm of religion, you're trying to look at it objectively, you are very adamant about applying it in a way that's good.
Yes. I've spoken at several universities, and I had people in their departments stand up and ask, well, these bugs or these things that you're trying to move or convince to go elsewhere, what's the final result of them? If the final result is adverse to whatever we're trying to work with, they're going to upload into the cloud. They're going to upload into consciousness and warn the rest of the group, and it's not going to happen. In other words, it's instantaneous update. So we have early videos. We'll share them with you sometime, where we were doing research in California, and we had crickets in these triangular tubes made out of clear plastic tubes with tubs on the end of them. And we would program cards and literally stick them underneath the Tupperware boxes at these tubes, and we could make the crickets move wherever we wanted them in these tubes.
That's just amazing. Now, how do you think it can be applied to helping with the bees and the pollination?
We've offered. In fact, we're in communication right now about the last white male rhino that is dying in the Sudan. In Kenya. We're in communication with the doctors about our technology helping them in an attempt to save the rhino.
Excellent.
So everything we do has a non-hostile result at the end. So.
But what about the bees? Because I know we have a big pollen problem and stuff. Have you been in contact with those people as well?
No, that we've reached out. You know, some people just.
Well, they don't quite believe it. They don't understand it. But well, now that you have people, I mean, you're actually getting paid and this is working and people are happy. Now, do you see this eventually being getting rid of all pesticides and this is what we do?
It can be totally influencing everything in the world, but one step at a time. We're starting small. We're starting to identify that path that we can remain on and expand it as we go.
Yeah, well, will we be around long enough to weather taking pesticides and herbicides away from these big conglomerates? I mean, you know, we've played pretty particular in who we've danced with. You know, we're in organic farms, we're in organic vineyards, we're in marijuana grows, we're in areas where pesticides and herbicides affect the final product. So they're looking for solutions. We're not trying to convince Jim Bob that sprays his tree every day to not do it because he wants convenience. The problem with this is we've manipulated the environment, Mother Nature, and everything for our egos and our own benefit for convenience. We want plants to grow when we want them to grow. We want vegetables to grow when we want them to grow. We want them to grow out of their environment. We want bugs to go away when they're naturally called in because the plant's under duress. All of it's a perfect cycle. And we've completely manipulated it. And that's why we're in the dire situations that we are on this planet.
Because we don't know how to work within the normal patterns. But you've done some pretty interesting research with C60 as well. And you're one of the ones that really brought C60 along with scientist Ken. He's gone by scientist Ken, which is going to be more like, you know, Bill Nye, the science guy or something. You've brought C60 to the, you know, to starting to be really known out there, but you're starting to really learn a lot of interesting things about C60, and there's a lot more research behind it. We have Dr. Loretta who can share some of her experience. Can you start talking about that and what happened?
Yeah, so that you know, we don't just sell C60. We didn't create C60 as a market tool like other individuals. We created it to help our friends and family and to do research with, because that's our forte is research. And the research is where the answers are found and where we're able to expand what we're doing. Now, our C60, when I talk about why Mecklatech and Conscious Field, our C60 is involved in that. So not only do you get the chemical attributes of C60 and whatever oil it's mixed in, but we use our frequency technology on our C60. So other people that have used ours are kind of shocked at what they feel and see because there's a defined difference. So it's the unseen that's doing a lot of things that you may not get.
Loretta, you had some eye issues, and right. And then can you tell us about what happened and then how C60 became a big part of what you're doing?
I sure can. Back in, I think, 2012, I think the earliest pictures I have are 2013, I was diagnosed with macular degeneration, which is the leading cause of blindness in the world in people over 50. And what happens, and I shared the pictures with you, is that the back of the eye, the fovea centralis at the back of the eye, is damaged or becomes damaged. And so people begin to lose central vision, so that's the one, you know, where you look straight ahead. And over time, that spreads to the whole back of the eye, and people go completely blind. And I did everything that you can imagine that would be beneficial to halting that progression. But in the pictures that I've sent you, you can see that the condition continued to progress. And in medical science, they believe that it is incurable. That is, excuse me, progressive. And if you're really lucky, you'll die before you go blind. So that's kind of their mindset. They've not seen, because I, believe me, I check clinicaltrials.gov. I am on the internet all the time looking for things that would be beneficial. I even spent a week down in Texas working with an ophthalmologist who promotes, yeah, there you go. He has pictures. I don't know if you can
see. I think
see
you've got the power.
Yeah, I'll be putting the pictures up over. Yeah.
So I spent a week down there with an ophthalmologist who lectures all over the world on reversing macular degeneration. So at the end of that week, we had our exit interview, and he said that there was so much scarring already in my eyes that the best that he predicted would be that we could slow the progression or halt the progression. He said there's no way that we could reverse the damage.
And this is the best in the world, right? I mean, you're talking to the best people in the world. And so, but they do, today's technology could at least halt it, they think, the best possibilities. Were you already seeing, were you already experiencing blindness at that point?
No, not blindness, certainly reduced vision. My best corrected vision in my right eye before October was 20/40. This is the best it could get. So under 20/40, you're not allowed to drive. So that was really, really, really scary.
So now what happened when Max and Phil came into the picture with C60? This is when your life changed, right?
It was. Actually, it changed in the interview in my kitchen. So because I was talking to Max, and he said, you're not taking enough C60. Dr. Joe says that you need to saturate the entire body for the antioxidant effect. And so Max and I made a deal, and I started taking the 4-ounce bottle this every Sunday. So over the, you know, from the time I got up in the morning, the time I went to bed, I would have taken an entire 4-ounce bottle, so it's 4 tablespoons. And usually took it with food, but it wouldn't make any difference. 4 ounces.
2 ounces.
2 ounces.
Sorry, 2 ounces. 4 tablespoons. I was right about the tablespoons.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to do math on Wednesday. So you have the pictures of that. Within a month, we began to see significant changes. In fact, so significant that when I went in for my next visit, my next set of pictures, without even saying hello to me, the retinologist said, "What have you done different since the last time I saw you?" And she had this like hard-edged voice, you know, it's like, "What have you been doing?" And so I told her, and she said, "Oh, well, it can't be that because I don't know anything about it."
Okay. Said, she doesn't know anything about anything that fixes it. So what could it be? You know, I mean,
it was a miracle, you know, or an artifact. And so as we continue to take pictures since October, the last time I had pictures, which was a couple weeks ago, I have more scheduled in 2 weeks. She looked at the dramatic reduction in the distortion of the visual field. It's drusen. I think it's on one of those pictures.
It is.
And she looked at that and she said, you know, and she's kind of nodding. She has her hand on my shoulder and she's being really supportive. We need to talk about the plans for that right eye. And I knew where she was going because in the medical field, when those distortions go away, it means the eye is dying. So as far as she was concerned, she was getting ready to give me, gee, I'm sorry, you're going blind lecture. Okay. And so I knew where she was going. So I jumped in before she had a chance to go there. And I said, you're darn right, we have to talk about it, because my vision has so improved. It's 20/20 with glasses now.
And what did she say?
She looked at the pictures again. She looked at me, and we moved right on. We didn't stop. She, no discussion, no conversation.
So now it's where not, it's at? Where is it at now with her, or are you not seeing her anymore?
Oh, no, I am seeing her. We're still dealing with some issues in the left. But, you know, she just, it's not within her framework. It's not her worldview. Her worldview says it's progressive and incurable. It's not reversible.
So now, but at this point, we have scientific proof that yours has reversed. Now, one eye is, now what's going on with the other eye? Is it slowly getting better too?
It is. The left eye has a slightly different diagnosis, has a diagnosis of wet macular degeneration. It's a much more serious, much more fatal to the vision diagnosis. And what is entailed there is that probably because of lack of oxygen in the eye, the body responds by doing something called neoangiogenesis, which is creating new blood vessels. The problem is they aren't, whoa, strong blood vessels. They're like wimpy blood vessels, and they bleed. And so you end up with blood in the eye that then clots, and then even more damage from even less oxygen. And so that's an entirely different situation. But I will say that we have seen in the pictures pretty impressive improvement there. I have pictures in 2 weeks. I'm really excited to see what's going on there. Because I think she's going to be really surprised. But you have to keep in mind that the treatment for wet macular degeneration is actually to inject the inside of the eye with drugs like Avastin, which is a cancer drug. And that procedure itself has risks like blindness and hemorrhage. Been there, done that.
And pain.
There's a lot of that involved. So once they stop the hemorrhaging, their belief is that they need to continue to inject every month to prevent any more from happening. And so that's where I think the C60 is going to make, has made, is making a world of difference, because it's preventing that.
Now, how many people in the world are affected by this, and how many people could benefit from this?
In the U.S., it's like 56 million. I don't know worldwide. I don't have that data. Somebody could look it up real quick.
Right now.
So it's, and the thing that I think is so incredible about it is that caught at the point of diagnosis. So it was, 4 years into the progression, in my case, before I started on the program, I think if I had been able to start back in 2013,
11 million.
We would never, 11 million?
11 million.
In the United States?
Yep.
11 million in the United States. Worldwide, do we have a worldwide? Yeah. And so I would never have gotten to the complication in the left eye if I had started on the C60 back in 2013. I mean, that's my belief.
Because it's a preventative thing. I mean, when do you think young people should be taking it as far as benefiting from it?
I think they should start as soon as they have reactive oxygen species, which would be shortly after they clamp the cord.
Yeah.
like everybody should be taking it.
Yeah, I have grandkids.
Babies.
Yeah. I have grandkids on.
I mean, they're not going to be taking a bottle on Sunday like I do. But anytime, I mean, even in the process of growth, you get damaged cells. I mean, how many kids do you know? My grandkids play soccer and baseball and basketball. And I mean, you know, volleyball. So you're going to fall. You're going to damage your kneecap. You know, if you're in the growth phase, that's great. but you still, the body still needs that help in doing that repair work. I mean, it goes on all the time. We live in a very, very toxic world. In fact, the most toxic world that's, I mean, Joe's over there
going, shaking his
head.
And we want to bring him into the conversation because he's a toxicologist. I'm not saying that right. He's a toxicologist. And he's been doing a lot of work with water and stuff. So if you could bring him in.
Well, he's on my website. He's the toxicologist.
Sarah, 196 million people worldwide.
Wow. Think of the people that could benefit from this. I'd like to see 6D as an additive to everything. But now, Joe, you are working on a lot of stuff with these guys. Can you share with us what you're doing and how does it relate to C60?
You are.
Well, first, my name's Joe Newsman. I have a
Dr. PhD. Joe Newsman.
Dr. Joe Newsman. I have a PhD in toxicology. And I have been in the toxicology field for over 25 years, and I've made a good living with pharmaceuticals. However, recently, probably in the last 5 years, I've really had an epiphany that pharmaceuticals are mostly evil. You know, they take care of the one problem that someone is taking that pharmaceutical for, but it can create 50 other ones that they never tell you about.
And they're not – are they – how many do you think are evil versus just people trapped in a crappy system?
Well, people are trapped in a crappy system. And I think that medicine in the United States is a little arrogant because they ignore all of the Eastern knowledge that's been around for centuries and centuries and centuries. And they think what they've learned since World War II trumps everything that comes into play over looking at active substances that they've been doing for thousands of years.
It does make us sound really ignorant and arrogant.
Without actually telling them that, yes.
Delusional.
But I met Max in back in the days where we were doing some really cool things with energetic manipulations and electronics. And Max was a guy that came into my realm and said, well, you guys have this problem. Just give it to me. I'll solve it, and I'll let you know when I'm done. Took it and ran with it. Since that time, started doing basically toxicology, occupational toxicology, protecting workers that are making these drugs. And that paid the bills for several more years. And then Max got back in touch with me and said, hey, I have this product called C60. Why don't you look it up and do some research and tell me what you think and see if you can write a testimonial about how this works, why it's good, and why people should take it. And so I did that, and I was the first testimonial on his website that said C60 is something that everybody on the face of the earth could potentially benefit from. And I am still thoroughly convinced that it's all about oxygen radical scavenging. And oxygen radicals are a side effect of breathing. So Dr. Ivy is absolutely correct that as soon as you clamp that cord, you can benefit from C60 because everybody that breathes is generating oxygen radicals. And oxygen radicals tears up living cells like nobody's business. It's like a bulldozer driving through a cornfield. Something's going to get damaged. And the body has extreme repair capabilities to go back and correct most of that damage. These systems get less efficient as the body ages. Mm-hmm. And what C60 does is the body has defense mechanisms against oxygen radicals that it without C60, it is spending these resources all the time to do this repair. Now, when C60 is on board, C60 is sucking up all of these oxygen radicals like nobody's business, one of the best on the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. And the body says, wow, I have extra resources. What can I do with that? It goes back to how it's programmed, and it sends those extra resources to healing. That's exactly what's going on. And the body knows where it needs to be healed. In Dr. Loretta Ivy's case, it's her eyes.
Do you think that our body would not be breaking down so fast as well? Like, because you say it's working overtime trying to solve these problems with oxygen damage. Now, if it didn't have to do that from the time that we were babies, do you think it would it wouldn't break down as fast, and so it could heal for a lot longer.
That's what the rat research showed.
Absolutely. The modern human lives in a toxic soup. Dr. Loretta Ivey said that already. And the easiest, simplest way to explain it is, if every day you're exposed to 10 things that are going to hurt you, would you be better off if you removed one of them? How about two? How about three? It's that simple. C60 helps to do that. And then it realigns the body's resources to healing. And when you can do that, it sets your body up for success. Your body knows what it needs to do. Mm-hmm. That's why clean eating helps. That's why giving it the building blocks to make what it needs to make helps. That's why staying away from GMOs helps. That's why getting chlorine out of water helps. That's why not having fluoride in your water helps. That's why staying away from damaging electric fields helps. It's all part of the toxic exposure that the more and more you can eliminate, the better off you're going to be. That's why I've helped lots of people with this. As we age, we tend to get on more and more pharmaceutical products. I've looked at people's pharmacologic profiles and taken a history and said, this is what you're taking for this, and this is what you're taking because this is what this does to you, and so on and so forth. What you need to do is you need to take these options back to your physician and say, I need to get off of this, this, and this, and reduce this. And I've changed people's quality of life by just getting them off of drugs.
Mm-hmm. Drugs are just killing us, aren't they? I mean, I just did a report showing it. We have the overdoses are off the charts. 1 in 6 people in the country are on psych meds. You know, people that are addicted to painkillers, not to mention the drugs on the street, like cocaine and everything else.
Different show.
and from my perspective, like if you have somebody with arthritis and you're taking an NSAID for that, some non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, the only thing that's going to help is the pain. It isn't going to fix the problem. You know, you've got to go in and bring in some heavy duty stuff to fix the problem, or the degeneration of the joints is just going to continue, kind of like my eyes.
Right. You got to realize that pharmaceutical companies aren't interested in curing anything. Mm-hmm. They're interested in creating customers.
Selling. Yeah.
Yeah. And absolutely. The government that is supposed to be there for the good of the people, it's just lost its focus, and we're in a hard time. But you're working on some things to deal with chlorine in water, right? Because a lot of cities, I know in my area, some cities will do no filtering whatsoever and just add chlorine.
Yes.
And that's not good for you. What does chlorine do to your body?
Well, chlorine is corrosive. And I see what chlorine does to the inside of pipes and water tanks and reservoirs. And if chlorine can dissolve iron,
glass,
what can chlorine do to living tissue? I mean, it's a harsh chemical. Anybody that swims for their exercise, they can feel it build up in their hair. They can feel it on their hands. They can see. I mean, you can feel the chlorine in the pool when it's out of balance because it eats you alive. And that's
terrible. Is it worse than fluoride, though?
Different thing.
Fluoride's a different thing. Fluoride, the way I describe fluoride is it has – it has a much greater affinity for every spot in your body that likes calcium. And we all know how calcium is a very valuable substance for biochemistry and life. Fluoride kicks calcium out and sits right in where calcium was and grabs and holds on tight, and you hardly can't get rid of it.
And it binds also preferentially instead of iodine in the thyroid, and so people become metabolically slow. And the research on children has shown a drop 10 points in IQ scores.
Fluoride was the Manhattan Project was a waste product from building the atomic bomb, and they had a lot of it, and it was a coup by the people that had this waste to get rid of it, convincing the government that, oh, fluoride is good for your teeth, let's put it in water. And, well, fluoride may be good for your teeth right up until a very small amount. Once you go over that, then it's detrimental to lots of other things, In addition to that, once you swallow it, it's going to tear up your insides just like chlorine.
And it's going to kill your microbiome. You know, we know that if we don't have those 2.5 pounds of friendly bacteria in your gut, you're in deep doo-doo.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's much and, like
yeah, and so the product that I'm most involved with right now is another one. You said it earlier for Max that everything is done through love and everything is done through benefit of humankind. Well, Twin Oxide is another product just like that. It is a complete replacement for chlorine in drinking water. And it is it's a two-powder process that when mixed together generates 99.9% pure chlorine dioxide where you can have no free chlorine.
So cities, can cities get this and replace their chlorine treatments with this instead? And their citizens are going to be so much healthier for it.
Yes.
So yeah. this would be targeted towards cities. I mean, individuals as well, but if we can get whole cities, whole communities on this, this would be a major benefit.
Absolutely.
Tell them about the farmers. That's so cool.
There's hundreds of different types of applications, and we're just scratching the surface in the United States. Twin Oxide is a company that's based in the Netherlands that's been in business for 18 years. This product is all over Europe. It's in Asia. It's in Australia. It's in India. It's in Africa. It's in South America. The only reason that I truly feel that it's not in the United States yet is because chlorine dioxide, which has been around since the 1800s, has had to be generated with a generator that if it gets out of whack, it explodes. Twin Oxide is a two-powder process you mix together and you can inject as a liquid into water treatment, and it is much better than chlorine. A chlorine, the federal level has to be 0.2 parts per million residual in a water supply. We can do the same job at 0.05.
So why wouldn't they be switching this out? Why wouldn't some of the cities, you know, that are around me or all over the country go, I want this? Is it cheaper?
They don't know about it. It's a little bit more expensive than chlorine most of the time. Sometimes it's cheaper, sometimes it's grossly more expensive, but you're missing something in that equation. But with Twin Oxide coming to the United States, there's one guy who has the license. He's based out of Florida. Florida has 3 people working this, and Colorado has 2. So you can see the logjam in getting it out to the North America is that they just don't know about it yet.
Okay, so it's just a matter of people knowing about it and getting a hold of it.
I need to get customers.
And do you sell it, or are you just you're a scientist working on it, or do you actually sell it as well?
Both. We're working on applications, and my website, you can buy this stuff, and Max and I are going to put it together where right next to C60 in the same size vial that, yes, it can be for individual use. It can be for very local water purification. We can set it up on a well system, which services a house or a neighborhood. And what we found is that when we feed it to livestock, so that's pigs, that's cows, that's chickens, that's sheep, whatever, you see healthier animals, you see less mortality, you see more respiratory ailments going away, and you see in every single case you see either a decreased or eliminating the need for antibiotics.
What is in it? What is it doing that it's working like that?
It makes a product called chlorine dioxide, which is a very powerful oxidant, and it will oxidize all of the bacteria, the viruses, the protozoa, the fungus, the algae, the spores, everything. And what this product does is it actually takes out the biofilm in the distribution system. So once you treat a water at a plant, you don't have to send it through a distribution system that's still contaminated.
Explain biofilms, because most people don't know what biofilms
are. Biofilm is what builds up on the inside of pipes where all of that bacteria live. So you treat the water, then you re-inoculate it as you send it out to people's taps.
So we have biofilms in the body too, and bacteria create those to protect themselves from us killing them. And so like Dr. Bob Marshall has this whole protocol about how to get rid of the biofilms so you can get rid of the pathogenic bacteria in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of that same thing. It's there protecting the bad stuff from going away. And we need the bad stuff to go away.
Absolutely.
Well, we're running out of time. And so what I was hoping we could do is talk about the C60 and the aging benefits and some of that research that's happening. But can we save that for my patrons and do that right now as exclusive?
That's fine.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And I know we're going to get back together when we do the water thing in another week.
Absolutely. I'd love to come back. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
You, and I'll move back out so that Max can come back in.
Oh, before I end it here, how can people get to your website?
The website where they can get the Twin Oxide information is twinoxide-colorado.com.
Okay, and then where can they get the C60?
LiveLongerLabs.com.
LiveLongerLabs.com. Okay, great. Thank you very much.